on your phone, iPad, tablet, and the internet. Cab Chat Radio Show. It's a Cab Chat interview.
Where you're hearing things.
Right, so I'm talking to Joe Lewis, who's appearing at the Charing Cross Theatre on Sunday to a sell-out show. Do you want to tell us a little bit about the show, Joe?
What can I say, Jamie? It's you've already said it. It's a sold-out show, and it's I wouldn't say it's exceeded our expectations. I think we were very confident about the fact that the Joe Lewis brand. Which we'd started working on when we did our first gig with the Denmark Street Big Band in May, seemed to go down well. I mean, people really enjoy the fact that the band are all real brilliant professional musicians, a 17-piece. They've all played together a lot of times before, made my job a lot easier. And I just moulded myself into what they did and practiced. And we've gone from two smaller, more intimate gigs in Clerkenwell to suddenly in my third gig playing a West End theatre, which is brilliant. You know, we're really looking forward to it. So the Charing Cross Theatre. So can't wait. Come in on Sunday.
So the tickets sold fairly quickly, really, didn't they?
Yeah, there's always a bit of a slow start. You know, there's always, you've got to start doing, we did the social media thing and, you know, the Facebook and Instagram and Twitter and John Parker Cabby, who's my sort of partner in crime as far as the music side of it goes, did his bit and I did as much as I could. And then it's just down to people to start talking and you know, wanting to come along. If they didn't get a chance to see us in the Clerkenwell venue, here's a bigger venue now, you've got your chance. There was a few other people who were very, very interested. The taxi charity ended up buying about 20 tickets because Francis of the taxi charity wanted you know, some veterans and their wives to come along and guests of the charity to come along and see the show. She'd seen it once and she was really impressed. So she obviously wanted to come along. And slowly but surely, people who said they were going to buy tickets didn't sort of just say it and then not do it. They realized the momentum was building and the tickets were actually starting to sell. There was like this middle bit where, you know, at the start, usually there's, unless you're an absolute megastar, when your tickets sell out in 3 minutes, then you know, it was taking its time. It was okay. It was quite steady, and we were getting updates from Vaughan Williams, who's the chairman and the owner of the theatre, pretty much every day, and because he was fairly confident as well. So that's kind of how it worked. And then there was this middle bit where the tickets started to really start to motor, and then the last week and a half, the two, has been a bit of a frenzy. Really, everybody's coming back off their holidays. They've realised that the tickets are actually sold much better than maybe they anticipated, and they've got to get in quick now and buy their tickets. And by 2-3 days ago, we were sold out, which is great. I mean, I think there are a couple of little singles left. But apart from that, that's, you know, it's brilliant. We're sold out of the theatre, even the balconies, and it's fantastic, you know.
So do you want to tell the listeners a little bit about the show and what sort of music to expect on Sunday?
Well, Joe Lewis, when I mentioned the brand, is obviously Lewis isn't my real surname. For those people that know me, Lewis was a family name on my dad's side that I felt I wanted to separate my personal life with the singer, if you like. Even though it's still me, but without getting all Mike Yarwood on it, I just decided that Lewis, you know. Much to everybody else. I mean, I had plenty of suggestions as to what my surname could be. I plumped with Lewis because it was a family name, and I thought, well, you know, it felt a bit tied in with the family, and it rolled off the tongue okay. So I thought, well, I'll stick with that. And then I met Paul Birch, who's the leader of the band leader of the Denmark Street Big Band, around the sort of March time, and we hit it off pretty much straight away. And John, who introduced us, made a suggestion that I meet up with him. He knew that's what I wanted to do, and the sort of relationship grew from there. I quickly realised that they were capable of playing anything from pretty much any era, and but especially the stuff that I grew up with on my dad's side, if you like, which was the swing arrangements, Rat Pack, Sinatra, Bennett, all those sort of, Nelson Riddle and Count Basie arrangements and everything. And I grew up listening to those albums. I was very lucky that I had my dad on in that sense, and I had my mum playing all the sort of 50s and 60s pop hits of the day. So I was au fait with a lot of them. By the time I was 10 years old, I knew a lot of the music from the bygone era. And I felt very privileged and lucky. So once I knew I'd got into this, I was getting a chance to perform swing and the sort of Rat Pack and American Songbook era, I jumped at the chance, because who wouldn't, in my position, jump at the chance of playing with a 17-piece orchestra?
Yeah, so what sort of music are you going to be singing on Sunday? What sort of music is the band going to be playing?
Well, I think I kind of summed it up, really. We're going to be doing a lot of the arrangements by the likes of Nelson Riddle and Count Basie. There'll be pretty much every song will be recognisable. We're doing songs from the Great American Songbook, so we'll be singing songs from Sinatra, Sammy Davis Jr., Dean Martin, Tony Bennett, Bobby Darin, who's a personal favourite of mine. He could sing anything, and it would swing. And so those five, really, which includes obviously the three Rat Pack guys. I don't think you could do any sort of American Songbook show without including those guys.
No,
and I'm doing this. I've picked out, it's so difficult because Sinatra himself had so many songs there. I mean, just had his name on so many, sang so many. It's sometimes hard to pick out everybody's favourites, but I think I've gone with, without being too obvious, I think I've gone with some obvious ones and maybe not so obvious ones as well, but still some really lovely tunes. I mean, there's a couple of slower ones in the first half. There's one in the second half from Sammy Davis that went down really well at the last gig I did. And so I don't, without giving anything away, I think everybody's going to have a lovely time. You'll all be tapping your feet. And by the end, hopefully we will be getting everybody up, because, and one artist I didn't mention is Bublé, because Michael is obviously a new generation of Rat Pack, if you like, him and the likes of Harry Connick, who came along in the sort of 80s and 90s, and Bublé in the last 10 or 12 years. And Bublé's arrangements took the songs that everybody knows to another level, sort of brought them up to date, but kept them essentially swing and American Songbook. And that's what we do towards the end. And hopefully by the end, everybody would have been relaxed. They've had a drink at halftime, and with about four or five songs to go, I imagine people would want to get up and have a little dance. And that is it. The theatre is, the seats are actually really good. You've got plenty of room in front of you. So if you're quite tall, your knees aren't going to be sort of knocking into the back of the person in front of you. And as and when the time is right, I think everybody will want to stand up and have a good dance towards the end. We hope so anyway.
Yeah. So as it's sold out this time, is there any plans to do another show at the Charing Cross Theatre, Joe?
We've been talking about it, Jamie. And I think we are pretty confident that the show's going to go well enough that we could probably start planning a Christmas show, because as far as the brand goes, I'm hoping that there'll be enough people in this audience that aren't necessarily people that we know or people that know people we know. There are plenty of people in this audience that we don't know and have bought off of an advert on Facebook or through someone else's friend, you know. So it's nice that we're getting to a wider audience, and hopefully what that means is that we can then start to plan another show. And if it's a Christmas one, then obviously we can introduce some really nice Christmas-style American Songbook songs, which, we all know there were many of some fantastic swing-style songs from that era in a Christmas sort of way. I remember I went to see the Rat Pack at Christmas one year, and it was fantastic because they mixed the sort of the originals with a lot of the Christmassy stuff, and it really works, you know. So let's see how this show goes on Sunday, and we'll sort of gauge the response that we get, and then we'll kind of take it from there, really. But yeah, I've got to be honest, the stress leading up to this show is probably close to the knowledge. I think when I did the knowledge, I think there's it's a nice kind of stress, but I tell you what, I wouldn't want to go through this every week.
The first one's always the hardest one to put on, isn't it?
I think so, because, I know John says to me, when he's been all over the world and played all over the world, John, he plays flute, clarinet, saxophone, he's a keyboard player, but essentially, he's a woodwind player, and he's very, very good, as we all know.
Yeah.
Very confident man. But let me tell you, when he plays to people that he doesn't know, no problem. If he thinks there's people in the audience that he knows or know him, it makes him a whole lot more nervous. And I've got to be honest, I think I feel the same. I although we're always confident in front of our friends and family, I think I'd feel more confident knowing that I don't know anyone in the audience.
Yeah.
So because I think you feel you've got to do that extra when you've got friends and family in the audience, even though they want you to do well, they're willing you to do well. But I've got to be honest, it's like I said, on the stress and pressure side of things, I'm glad that the tickets and all that have been taken out of our hands this time round. The theatre have been wonderful. They've been brilliant. The Charing Cross Theatre have been nothing short of brilliant towards us, and they've helped us in every single way possible. And for those people that have been to the Charing Cross Theatre when they went to see the Knowledge play, it's a lovely little intimate theatre, great little bar. And talking of the bar, very quickly, we had to see how the ticket sales were going before we could acquire what we both wanted, and that was a piano player to sit on the baby white grand in the bar, because the bar's big enough, it's got an upstairs part as well, so there'll be plenty of room for everybody in there. There's a baby white grand in there, and so we decided we were going to get a piano player once we reached a certain ticket sales, because that meant we could afford him.
Yeah.
And through a friend of my dad's, I managed to get hold of a guy called Cliff Hall, and it's not necessarily a name that springs to the front of people's minds, but Cliff actually played with the Shadows for 10 years.
All right.
During the 70s and the early 80s, and so he's a very, very good piano player. And so he will be actually appearing in the piano bar for about an hour between 1:15 and 2:15 on Sunday. I won't even get to see him because we're going to be rehearsing to a point, and then we're going to be sort of disappearing, and I'll be going through bits and pieces and getting changed into my suit.
Yeah.
Like everybody will be, and sort of cleaning their instruments. And whereas Cliff will be entertaining everybody out in the bar, playing some standards and bits and pieces for everybody to enjoy, a bit of background music for everybody. So we're really pleased that he's able to join us. And for Cliff, who's been all over the world and played live with the Shadows for all those years, he turned to me and he said that he was absolutely chuffed that I'd asked him. I mean, that's quite an honour, isn't it?
Yeah, that is nice.
And I said, don't be daft. This should be the other way around.
Yeah.
And he said, no. He said, you, because he heard me sing a little while ago. I got up and did a couple of numbers with him at a friend's sort of get together, and he loved the way I sang. And I said to him, well, maybe we'll meet up again one day. And it looks like not necessarily going to meet up, but we spoke, and he's going to come and do this. And this is obviously off our own back, because we wanted everybody to have a really nice time before the show. Leading up to the show, they feel relaxed. There's nice music playing in the background. It's live. And this guy, if they want to have a photograph with him, if they were into that sort of the Shadows and all that sort of thing, just to let people know out there, if they're coming to the show, catch up with Cliff before he disappears into the night, and have your photograph with him. There's a keyboard player from the Shadows, new Hank Marvin and all the rest.
Yeah. So you mentioned Parker Cabbie, John, a few times. Now, John's obviously a member of the Denmark Street Big Band, isn't he?
He is, yes.
And also, you do another thing with John, the Guilty Pleasures duo. Yeah.
Well, we're just about to rebrand, actually, Jamie. We started as the Guilty Pleasures duo, where we have myself and John on backing vocals. John plays; he's got an alto sax and a tenor sax that he plays live, and keyboards he joins in, and we play with professionally recorded backing tracks, and we entertain people on the sort of wedding anniversary front. We do lots of parties, whatever we're asked to do. We travel wherever we need to go to do this stuff, and we're being asked back, which is quite nice. We're getting more jobs out, jobs that we've done. People are always pleased at the end of the night. We always overrun because we enjoy ourselves so much, so we're not tight on schedule that we just go, oh, there's your hour, bye-bye. We're very sort of loose with the time because we enjoy ourselves so much. And we're just about to rebrand ourselves into the Jukebox Party Band.
Right.
Only because we decided that the Jukebox Party Band seemed to have a better ring to it, about more about what we do. Even though we play all those guilty pleasure numbers that people have forgotten about, or the sort of like forgotten number one hits and all the rest of it. But generally, 60s, 70s, 80s are what we do. And we really play it by ear. I mean, you've heard us play, Jamie. We play it by ear. We haven't got a fixed set where we go, we're going to play this, 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 and this, and this. If we see something happening, if we see people reacting to a certain thing, I'll very discreetly, while I'm in between words, I'll shout into John's ear what we're going to do next. And then we wait to the end of the song, and I'll quickly find that song, and we'll go straight into that song, provided John's ready, because sometimes he has to swap saxophones, depending. Like if we're playing Baby Jane, now obviously he's going to use one particular sax, and if there's something else, then he's using another one. So as long as we get time to do that. But it works for us, and we feed off each other really well. And the last few gigs, especially the ones down at Pilgrim's, down at your place, have been nothing short of fantastic. Everybody's had a fantastic night, and we don't want to leave. You know, it's really difficult. Yeah. We find it very hard to stop, which is great, really, isn't it?
Yeah, because you're back here again at Christmas, aren't you, doing the Christmas party?
We are. We're doing the Christmas party and the big one on the 22nd, and we've got a few gigs in between. So, you know, we're really looking forward to it.
But the other thing you're doing as, you know, you're rebranded Jukebox Bar Party Band is the Hack Shack Christmas do on the 26th of January in Tudor Park Marriott at Bearsted.
We are doing the Hack Shack. We were asked through yourselves, and, you know, we were snapped up, which is great. I'm not surprised at that price.
No, nor am I. I think he was mad. It's quite ironic, really, isn't it, that really, in effect, it's Cab Chat that started Used Two Off Together.
Do you know what? I was going to take a deep breath, and I was about to say that, and I will say this with my hand on my heart, that Jamie was one, this is all for the listeners out there, Jamie was one of the few people, including my wife and my dad, who for a long, long time was saying to me, you need to take this and push it and push it and push it. You've got a very, very good voice. You need to make something of it. Don't waste it. And I kind of ummed and ahed about it for a long time. And it was when I met John, and then obviously we started talking and everything, I kind of saw an opportunity. And when I came to speak to you about it, and you said, what are you waiting for? Go and do it. Do it. Because, you know, none of us are getting any younger. You need to do this because it's something you really want to do, and you've always wanted to do. And to use Jamie's phrase, I've been telling you for in ages.
Well, you needed a rocket up your backside, didn't you, really?
Well, I kind of did, but I think it was about belief as well, you know. I think there was a reason why I looked on Harvey Goldsmith's website the other day, was because I met a guy who's one of his business partners, a Dutch guy, who's in my cab, and we were talking, and he's taken my details because I'm telling him about the gig and everything. And so he said, I'm not here on the 16th. I'd love to come to your show, but I'm sure I might get to see you another time. Which I thought, why not? I mean, he's only Harvey Goldsmith's business partner. Yeah, so he took my details. Yes, indeed. And I went on to Harvey Goldsmith's website, and on the front page of Harvey Goldsmith's website is the quote: "It's all about timing and luck." And to be honest, there's no truer words, are there, really?
I think that's easy for people that have made it to say. I think it's all about hard work and putting yourself out there.
Well, I think timing and luck plays a massive part in it, though, Jamie. And you know.
Yeah, but unless you put the hard work in and put yourself out there in the first place, no one's going to discover you, and there won't be no timing or luck that comes along after that.
Oh, I suppose, but I suppose it is an element of, I know what you mean, it is an element of it. I mean, there's a quote in the programme, the theatre programme that we've done, again, to add to the stress, I've had to collate everything and get it done. It's been fun, but got to be honest, I could have done without it. And in the back, I put a quote, and that is, the past is in your head and the time and the future is in your hands. And you know, I have grabbed it with both hands. You, like you said, you stuck a rocket up my backside, and I'll always be eternally grateful for the likes of yourself and my dad and Tina, my wife, for going on and on and on at me to do it. And thankfully now here's the first of hopefully many gigs that we're going to do at the Charing Cross Theatre.
And of course you're having it recorded as well, aren't you, on Sunday? You're having it audio recorded.
John's suggestion, actually, and I'm glad he said it because I didn't want to sort of push my luck, but we've got a friend of ours, Daniel, who's a sound engineer. He's got his own studio at the place where we've got our little studio. And we asked him if he wanted to do it, and he quoted us a price that seemed very fair, and he's going to come and record it as an EP, I suppose, and he's going to record it in the best possible way, depending on the feed he can get off the desk that they've got there.
Yeah.
And they've got a new musical going in there, so we're hoping that the desk is going to be big enough to feed Daniel a wide array of feeds into his interface that's going to go into the computer, because that means he can then record on lots of different mics.
Yeah.
So when we get the master, we're able to then sit down, mix it properly, get it mastered, and make it sound like $1 million. And hopefully, you know, through one way or another, get it out there as a live album or an EP,
yeah,
which would be fantastic. We don't know what's going to happen, but we're certainly going to leave all our options open.
And of course, we're going to be videoing it as well.
Yes. I believe John's acquired your services. Is that right, James?
Yeah, he has.
Yeah. But to be honest, again, for the listener out there, I think Jamie is much happier doing something like that than he is sitting in his seat in row X.
Yeah. So I don't know how pleased he's going to feel about it, but
no, we ain't told her yet.
I haven't.
I'm sure somebody will keep her company up there. Yeah. But we are getting it filmed as well. I believe we're going to get it filmed to use the footage as a promo. And again, this is all about the brand and getting the Joe Lewis brand out there. And who knows? None of us quite know what's going to happen. All we can look at is now. We can look at Sunday, do Sunday, see how it goes, see the reaction we get, and then kind of take it from there. But, you know, I just don't want it to be over with. I can't wait to be immersed in it.
Listen, I'm not being funny, but if anyone's got tickets for Sunday and they're doubtful as to whether they're going to enjoy it or not, leave no doubt in your mind you're going to come out of there really enjoying yourself, or you're going to be really enjoying yourself when you're in there, because I've seen you perform how many times now? Four or five times live. And
you're like my group.
I'm just amazed at you. Just seem to get better. You and John together seem to get better and better every time.
Yes, I think there's a confidence thing going on there. We started really bouncing off each other nicely. It's getting used to each other's ways and how we perform and everything. John's got his ways, I've got mine, but we come together really easily. And I'm a quick learner with things, and so is John. And I think once we started bouncing off each other, we knew where we were going with our performances when we worked together as a duo.
Yeah.
With the big band, it's slightly different because they're all individuals, but they're all brilliant sight readers, and they read really well. The charts that they get are brilliant charts that they work from. You know, the drummer we've got is probably one of the top five drummers in the UK at that particular genre.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's the Paul Birch, the band leader, has gone out, you know, he's really worked hard to get all the best musicians in, to make sure that everybody who's paid their money and is coming to that show on Sunday enjoys it. We've got a great PA. We've got a brilliant lighting system that's in there. We've got a follow spot guy. Yeah, I mean, it's basically a night at the theatre. We've got some kids that are going to be joining me to help, you know, sort of break up the evening a little bit. And of course, you know, along with the kids come the very proud parents, of whom I think 30 have bought of seats. So, you know, we've put bums on seats as far as parents go, because they love to see their kids, and they're all academy kids, you know, where my two kids went to the Brook Kinsella True Stars Academy. We've got kids from there. We've got another young lad from another academy who danced for me before and took everybody's breath away, and he's only 11 years old. So there's lots going on. And like you say, Jamie, I think if anybody walks out of that theatre saying, oh, wasn't that great, was it? I'd be really shocked.
Yeah,
because
definitely.
We've worked so hard to get this to this point, and the band are fantastic. And I work really, really hard to make sure that people have a great time. And that's the most important thing to me, is to make sure I see smiles on people's faces and hopefully people leaving their seats to dance with a few numbers to go.
Yeah. Well, I look forward to Sunday because I can't wait, to be honest with you. And
a lot of people were saying, do you know, I had a phone call this morning. I was on the phone to you, and I had a missed phone call, and I won't say who it was.
It was the Germans.
Yeah, for those that know Joe, and his voicemail. I played it to John, made John smile. His voicemail, and he won't mind me saying this. He said to me, Joe. He said, I'm just wondering if there's any tickets left to the hottest show in town. And I thought that was really nice. You know, it was such a nice compliment. And he sounded a bit worried in his voice because he'd obviously left it late, and he didn't realise that we'd sold out. And what happened was there was two people had to cancel, didn't they? Out of the planned party.
Yep.
I managed to get him those two tickets, and I moved someone about that needed to be moved, and we freed up two singles right near to where he sat. So he's ended up with those four tickets, the last four tickets, really.
Yeah. Because I believe you've only got one single ticket left now, haven't you? Just one.
Well, either one or two. I think I could name them, actually. There's M12 and S9. We've got those ringing around in our head. So if anybody does want a single ticket, or if there's two of you and you don't mind sitting apart, and you want to come and enjoy a Sunday afternoon of Rat Pack and American Songbook with a live 17-piece orchestra and myself under the lights and a great PA and an atmosphere, then, you know, come and enjoy it and then go and grab a bit of dinner afterwards. What a better way to spend a Sunday.
So how long does the show actually last, Joe?
We're looking at about an hour per half with a 20-minute break in the middle, because there's so many people in the theatre.
Yeah.
The bar, they're opening both bars, so that obviously people aren't rushing to get their drinks at half time. They can take their time. There's two bars there.
Yeah.
There'll be plenty of time to get drinks, and you can fetch them back into the auditorium. So we're aiming for 1 hour, probably 65 minutes per half. We don't really want to overplay if we can avoid. We prefer to underplay, if anything. But I've been trying to time it with the backing tracks, you know, going through the backing tracks at the same tempo and trying to time it, and it's working out at around 62, 63 minutes. So even if there's a little bit of extra banter, because we don't just go one song, another song, another song, another song, there's going to be little bits of banter in between that I think is just as important, which people will understand when we get to Sunday. They'll understand what I'm talking about. But it's just, you know, we're just lining up to have a really, really great show, and everybody, like I say, will enjoy themselves, hopefully.
Yeah. Well, thanks for that, Joe, and we look forward to Sunday and seeing you and John and the Denmark Street Big Band.
Thanks, Jamie, and thanks for the opportunity to talk and to talk to, you know, all your listeners. I know you've got many of them, and they're building day by day. And now all I can say is thanks to you for doing what you've done over the past however long. You know, we've been friends a long time, but recently, you've kind of pushed me. And if it wasn't for yourself and Tina and my dad, I probably wouldn't be sitting here having this conversation with you now. So I appreciate everything you've done, and you know, good luck with Cab Chat, and we'll see you Sunday.
Yep, see you Sunday, Joe. Thank you.
Thanks, Jamie. Thanks, mate.
It's a Cab Chat interview.
Cab Chat Radio Show. On the air, everywhere.